Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Okay, it looks like we're having a little bit of difficulty. I'm Pastor O, and we're waiting on your teacher to pop in, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks.
Hello.
There we go.
Hey there, Pastor O.
How
Hello,
you doing
people
this evening?
Of God. Yes, yes, I was talking on mute, but that's okay. My name is Nicole Seabrooks, and this is Bible Reading Class with Runner for Christ Ministries. We want to thank you for joining us each and every week. You're truly a blessing from God. You can help us by letting someone know about this Bible reading class that's here on Block Talk Radio. And tonight, we're going to be reading from Psalms chapters 115 through 118 and 120. After that, we'll answer the review questions. The questions are posted on our website every week. If you'd like to join in with us today by answering questions, if you'd like to ask a question or simply make a comment, you can press the number one on your telephone keypad. You'll be put into the host queue, and your mic will be open. This is a friendly reminder, though, to help keep background noise at a minimum. If you're not speaking, please keep your phone on mute, and then you can take it off mute when you would like to speak. Before we get started, let's take a moment of prayer and acknowledge God. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, we just thank you that your people, we don't have to wonder and search for the answers to what we need to do in life. You've given it to us. You wrote a book, and you laid it all out. And so we're here today to know what thus saith the Lord. We invite you, Holy Spirit, and thank you for those who are joining in today. Now we're going to read, or we're going to listen to Psalms chapter 115 through 118 and 120.
Okay, just before we do that, we're going to hear just of 119. Don't let that bother you. I was a little late on the skip button. But don't let that bother you. Here we go.
Psalms Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong. Psalm 120. A song of ascents. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you? And what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. Woe to me, that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war.
All right. That was Psalm 116 through 118 and 120. Let's get into this week's questions. Good evening. All right. Question number one. What is the reason the psalmist in 116 will call upon the Lord as long as he lives?
Well, I've got 116, 1 through 4, and it reads
Beautiful.
As follows. Okay. And how you doing today?
Good. Thank you, Oliver.
All right. And it reads as follows, everyone. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wraps its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. Then I call on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. Amen.
Amen. All right. So he called, the reason that he will call upon the Lord as long as he lives is because when he calls out to the Lord, he answers him.
Amen.
All right. He saves him. All right. So number two, the psalmist states that our God is gracious, righteous, and compassionate. What testimony does he give about his personal experience with God?
Okay, I've got 116 again, verses 5 through 9.
Beautiful.
Okay. Okay, and it reads as follows. How kind the Lord is, how good he is, so merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death, and he saved me. Saved me, okay. let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. He has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, and so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So his testimony is that God protects him. He was facing death. God saved him. He gave his soul rest again. His feet were stumbling, and he was able to, you know, walk in the Lord's presence. And so it's kind of like our testimony, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I once was lost, but now I'm fine. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. You know, that's our testimony. You know, and so that's what we're seeing here in this psalm. Number three, the psalmist contemplates how he could repay God for all of his benefits. What does he say that he could do in response to God's goodness?
Is it 13 through 17 or 13 through 16?
Just add number 12 in that.
All right.
Yeah, 12. Okay.
Yeah.
And it reads, "What can I offer the Lord? For all he has done for me, I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people. The Lord cares deeply when his loved ones die. Oh, Lord, I am your servant. Yes, I am your servant. Born into your household, you have freed me from my chains.
All right. So the psalm is...
It's one more verse, but I'm trying to turn my page. Okay. Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
No problem. Okay. I will offer you sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the psalmist contemplates lifting up the cup of salvation and praising the name of the Lord. It's like that's all really he could offer God. I mean, what can you give God?
Right.
You know, other than walking in his ways and praising him and thanking him for what he's done for us. Amen. Thank you very much. Number four, what does the psalmist promise to do in the presence of God, of all of God's people?
That would be, which would be the ending of chapter 116. It would be 18 and 19 together as it ends. And it reads as follows. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. And the house of the Lord is the heart of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Number five. We're getting you know, some of these chapters are short, so we're getting through these quickly. although the psalmist in 117 was a member of the people of Israel, what nations does he call to come to God and worship?
Verse 1 and 2.
All right, ding, ding, ding.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Okay, and it reads, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all ye people of the earth. For his unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right. Amen. Amen. So he's calling on all the nations, not just Israel, to come to worship God. All the nations have been called to come and worship God. Number six,
yes.
The psalmist in 118 calls on Israel, the house of Aaron, and those who fear the Lord to give thanks to him. Why should they give thanks to the Lord?
Verse okay.
One. Was it 118, verse 1?
It's going to be 1 through 4.
Mm. Okay, Mr. Oliver, you want to read it?
I sure can. And it reads as follows. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let Aaron's descendants, the priests, repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let all who fear the Lord repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Amen.
Amen. So why should they give thanks to the Lord? Because his faithful love endures forever, and it must be pretty important. Because I know that we've been taught that when we see things repeat themselves like this, they're stressing the point.
that God's faithful love endures forever. Amen. Thank you.
That's not.
Number seven. That was number six. Number seven. What is the testimony that the psalmist gave to urge you to take refuge in the Lord and fear no man?
Go ahead, Mother. Take it away.
118:8-13. I had 5-9 for this one.
Okay. 5-9. Okay. In my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in the people. You said through 8 or 9?
9.
Okay. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in the princes.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Well, this is that scripture that we hear all the time. If God be for me, who can be against me?
Right.
Right.
And number 8, the psalmist describes a time when he was surrounded and outnumbered by his enemies. Where did he get the strength and help to be victorious?
I've got 118:10-16. Okay.
Yes, go right ahead.
All right. And it reads as follows. Though hostile nations surrounded me, I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. Yes, they surrounded and attacked me, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. They swarm around me like bees. They blaze against me like a crackling fire, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. My enemies did their best to kill me, but the Lord rescued me. The Lord is my strength and song. He has given me victory. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, 16, excuse me. Was it the 16
oh,
I said?
Well, that was pretty much it. No, because I think the next one is 16.
Goes into
is
another
the next
one.
One.
Okay.
Yeah. So where did the psalmist get the strength and help to be victorious?
It's through the authority of the Lord.
Amen. He got it from the Lord. Beautiful. Number 9. How did the psalmist respond to God's deliverance?
Is it the Lord is my strength and my song? He has given me victory. 15 through. Yeah, the songs of my joy. I got 15 and 16.
Yes, beautiful.
Okay. 15 reads, songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. And the strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So the psalmist responded in song and thanksgiving. Number 10. The psalmist uses a building metaphor to teach an important truth. Who rejected the stone which would become the cornerstone?
That is 118:22-23.
All right.
All right, and it reads as follows. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone of stone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. Amen.
Amen. So who rejected the stone?
I would say us.
The builders.
The
right, yeah. But as we can see, it was the Lord's doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we hear the scripture all the time. The stone that the builder rejected has now become the cornerstone. Who else quoted that scripture in the New Testament?
Oh, that was mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke. And matter of fact,
yes.
I'll read the footnotes for you as it
Go
reads.
Ahead.
Jesus referred to this verse when he spoke of being rejected by his own people in Matthew 21:42, Mark 12:10 and 11, and Luke 20, verse 17. Although he was rejected, Jesus is now the cornerstone, the most important part of the church, and that's in Acts 4:11, Ephesians 2:20, and 1 Peter 2:6-7. The cornerstone is the foundation stone holding the structure together. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So it's Jesus who quoted the scripture. All right. Thank you very much, Oliver.
You're welcome.
And number 12, the psalmist in 120, wait, I think I
you didn't
I
do
missed
11.
One.
11.
11. Who is the stone that was rejected? Yes. Who is the stone that was rejected?
Jesus.
Amen. Where is the answer in our text?
I don't have it. I don't have that answer.
All right. It's number 26. It was also quoted in the New Testament.
Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. And so this is also quoted in the New Testament, which is why when
hold on, so hold on 1 minute for a minute. So you're telling me the answer for number 11 was actually 26?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
No, or was that number 12? I'm sorry, my pages are getting a little
number 11.
No, it wasn't 12. It was number 10. 11.
So the question is, who is the stone that was rejected? And the one that is rejected is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, which we all know to be Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Okay.
I must have read that question wrong then. Now that you read it like you did, I read it wrong. But thank you for the
answer. No problem.
Okay.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, I think they said that to him when he was making his triumphal entry. Bless, Hosanna, Hosanna, and then bless is he who comes to in the name of the Lord.
Okay.
And the cornerstone, the ones the builders have rejected. I believe Peter had that in his first sermon.
Exactly.
So I forgot who else. Maybe Paul used it or maybe Stephen. They were the major preachers in the book of Acts. So if somebody said it there, it would probably be one of those three. But I'm sure Peter did. And, you know, of course, throughout the Jesus' public ministry. The prophecy was the stones that the builders have rejected, and that was Jesus. You know what amazes me is all of this. It's what Pastor Tate, what Janice Tate brought out Sunday, 700 years before it even happened. You know, how could you miss this? That's why John the Baptist told him, let me give you a hint. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Ring any bells? You know, but they didn't get it. they did not get it. And so you see this here, and you hear it quoted way over there, and nobody puts two and two together. Jesus, like, Lord, did I give them a brain or a brick? You know what I mean? But they couldn't figure it out. It's amazing how many prophecies there are in the Old Testament that are quoted by Jesus and others in the New Testament to people who should respond to it, Jews. And they completely missed it. I mean, what Pastor Tate brought out last week about how his whole death, burial, and resurrection scenario, the whole thing, and they did not have a clue, and it was being lived out, acted out right in front of them, and they still didn't get it. Nobody said, wait a minute, didn't Isaiah say something about this whole situation we in? Nobody did.
Mm.
It's amazing how somebody can say something 700 years before it happened, and it happens exactly like he said. You know, not kinda, not some of it, not none of like Nostradamus when I was studying about him and his quatrain.
Right.
I mean, once you study him, you quickly see that he's kind of guessing. He's kind of understood the past. And what he is doing is kind of predicting the future, but he's guessing. And somebody asked me, why don't you believe him? I'm like, I don't have to. I have a Bible, and it's written all the way to the end. I don't have to sit in a room filled with methane gas and get high and then start writing stuff. You know, like the Oracle at Delphi. That's exactly what was going on in that situation. But, you know, all of these things were written down, I guess, to give Israel clues. So when they hear it, they would say, wait a minute. Didn't somebody? Yeah. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got it. Nobody picked it up. It's just like today. I wondered how the Lord, when I was writing my book, Jesus Christ from Death to His Resurrection or Ascension, I was saying, so since you're telling what the end's going to be to your disciples right here, won't people know? He said, nope, it'll be exactly like in the days of Noah. They just kept right on living life the way they were living it until it started raining. And then it was too late. They were all swept away. It's amazing that you can say these things straight out to people and they completely miss it. What gets me, though, is the church and how they miss it. They should know. They shouldn't be tripping during these times. We should know that this is what Jesus said would happen. But I guess like them, we kind of blind ourselves or not. Like Jesus said, can't you read the signs of the times? But when I was recording this and I heard that, I knew exactly where that was coming from. And then I thought, how many years was this prophesied before it happened? And since it was re-mentioned in the New Testament, excuse me, to God's people, who were well rehearsed in the word. They had some problems understanding it, but most of the people of Jesus' day were well rehearsed in the word. They might have problems understanding what it meant, but they knew it. even that woman at the Samaritan well, what did she say? We know that when Messiah comes, he'll show us everything. She knew the Messiah was coming. Ain't that funny? Of all the people, all the smart Jews, all of them rabbis and all of that going on, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, they all missed Jesus. But this woman at the well, Jesus is so impressed with her and her faith that he reveals himself to her. He don't tell her to keep it quiet. He tells everybody else, don't reveal this until after I'm risen. But he don't tell her that. And he allows her to go off and reveal the Christ to whoever she would, and look what she did. But the people who were supposed to know, the one who were teaching people, like Jesus asked Nicodemus, you're a teacher of the Jews and you don't know these things? That's deep. When Jesus say to your pastor, you the pastor and you don't know these things? Like when me and Deacon Tate went to that church and asked, I just knew the pastor was finna get some accolades because he gets to show the people he read the Bible from the beginning to the end. So I said, everybody in here, stand up. And y'all know what happened, right? Deacon Tate stood up. Another deacon whose grass we used to treat, he stood up. And that was it. Not even the pastor. And you're the pastor. And you don't know these things. But you're the pastor. That tripped me out. I never do that again, ever, when I go into a church, unless I ask the pastor before I do it, have you read the whole Bible from beginning to end?
Say, Pastor, I got a question. The Samaritan woman and everything, is she of Jewish descent, or is she like we are?
Well, the Samaritans came around during the time of the first Babylonian captivity. They were left there, and they intermingled with the people who were left there, and they became known as Samaritans. Today we call them mulattoes, half-breeds, all kinds of racist, stupid names, but that's where they came from. So they stayed up on Mount Gerizim, and they felt like that was the place God wanted them to be. But the Jews believed it was Jerusalem, because that's what the woman brought up to Jesus. You Jews say we need to be in Jerusalem doing this stuff, but our fathers say we need to be here. And that's when Jesus told her, spirit and in truth, it's not a place. And so that's when she recognized that he was the Messiah. And she said, when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things. So they were mixed with Jews and what other Gentile race happened to be there when they were dragged off and that remnant was left. And that's when that all started. So they're really Jews too, but even to this day, there are Samaritans who still live on Mount Gerizim, and they practice the Old Testament the way it was written. They don't have no temple. They don't have no temple, but they still, to the best of their ability, practice the Old Testament rituals.
Oh, okay.
At last count, it was about, when I started writing, I don't know what year I started writing, but when I started writing, it was about 600 of them still on Mount Gerizim carrying out the same old thing, waiting for Jesus to come.
Oh. Wow.
Okay.
That's a heck of a tradition.
Yeah, it is.
Hell, that's a long time to wait, too.
That, too.
If I was him, I would have believed the woman.
And, Pastor O, thank you for cutting my mic on.
You're welcome. I was reading some scriptures. And then I looked back at the switchboard and I saw your mic, your hand up.
Oh, okay.
When y'all press one, a little hand pops up by your name or your number.
Okay.
And that lets me know that you're ready for your mic to be open. It used to be a little blue light. Now it's a hand, like a raised hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't make me pull a Will Smith on you with that raised hand.
Okay, Nicole. Let's move on.
All right, number 12.
Somebody finna get slapped.
Number 12. All right, the psalmist in 120 pleads with God to rescue him from those who are trying to destroy him. What are his enemies' source of weaponry?
I started at 120 and I went from 1 to 4. But as far as the weaponry go, it's on verse 4. You will be pierced with sharp arrows and burn. Oh, no, the whole thing. I'm sorry.
Yes,
I took my
troubles
to the Lord. I cried out to him and he answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. O deceptive tongue, what will God do to you? How will he increase your punishment? You will be pierced with sharp arrows and burned with glowing coals. Amen?
All right. So,
amen.
So what was the enemy's source of weaponry in those verses?
Deceptive tongue.
You got it. Very good.
Professor, thank you.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. We all know about that tongue. It gets kind of loose sometimes.
Not controllable.
we can control it. If you want to.
Yeah, we say we can, but then we always do something like, oh, man, I flipped.
Well, we've been commanded to by God, and so we know that whatever he commands us to do, his people, we have the ability to do it.
Yeah, we may have the ability to do it, but we don't do it. Whoa. I can't say what y'all don't do. I don't be doing it sometimes.
Yes. Number 13, the psalmist is looking for God's help while he lives in Meshach among the tents of Kedar. How does he describe the character of those people?
Five through seven, same chapter.
Amen.
Okay, how I suffer in far off Meshach. It pains me to live in distant Kedar. I am tired of living among people with hate peace. Oh, no, I'm among people who hate peace. I search for peace, but when I speak of peace, they want war. Amen?
All right. Amen. So basically, he's surrounded by a bunch of unrighteous people.
Yes, yes, yes. All righty then. Thank you, Miss.
And that was the last of our questions. Very good. Very good class.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, teacher.
Yes.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for your participation. I appreciate that.
Oh, without a doubt.
We're all waiting for chapter 119, though. Nicole.
Yes. Yes,
we are waiting for that.
Oh, yeah,
that's next week.
That's going to be a
Yeah, that's a doozy. That's a long.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's only a few verses. Only a few verses.
176 verses.
You'll at least know that the answer is in chapter 19.
Hey.
Yeah, right, exactly. We'll know where all the answers are, that's for sure.
Right.
Yes.
But I'll help you out.
Okay, yeah, I guess I better be sending my questions over there now instead of having them on the computer.
Oh, yeah, it's about that time, ain't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't I know?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I got them on
you
the computer.
You on deck?
Next.
What we got?
Next.
119 and then 121
to
125.
121 to 125, yeah. So I got a couple of weeks.
So then I do 121 through 125?
Right. Well, next week, 119, then followed by 120. 21 through 125.
125.
Yeah.
All righty. If you want to jump into one, yeah.
Okay. So in the way of announcements, this Saturday, Sarah Tate McClendon, she will be associate pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, get all that out. She will be bringing the message this Saturday. Okay, so tune in this Saturday at 9:30 for Sunday School with Deaconess June Rogers. Lord have mercy, that girl is doing an awesome job with that Sunday School. So tune in Saturday for Sunday School with Deaconess June Rogers. Also going to have Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. She's going to be bringing a message. And then Sunday, I will be preaching. And, of course, it's coming on anniversary month. It, all month long, we celebrate our anniversary in April. Of course, we'll be preaching the same message, continuing the work. Yeah. And then, of course, coming up in April, there's Palm Sunday, and then there's Easter Sunday. And I forgot all of that. But Jesus reminded me. Amen. That, you know, he says, say anything about April, anything. I'm like, no, Lord, what? He's like, when did the church start? I'm like, oh, the anniversary. He's like, what other thing happened? Oh, Easter. Yeah, so anyway, we got that right. And for those of y'all who say you wish you had a memory like mine, well, there you go.
Yes.
If it was, if it wasn't for the Lord, I would have been up preaching James. But instead, I'll be preaching our anniversary. I actually love this time of the year. I don't know how I forgot all that, but I did. I love this time of year because it gives me an opportunity to say what Running for Christ is there for, what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the problem with Running for Christ, or if you want to call it a problem, is it's Jesus intentionally didn't want it to be every other church. He intentionally did not want it to be every other church. So everything I came up with, he shot it down, shot it down. So I finally said, you just tell me what to do. And he did. So, and so Running for Christ is like really simple. And it seems like it's not doing enough. But he say every time I complain, he just tells me I got churches doing some of everything. Why do I need another one doing some of everything? So you just do this. Let them do that. If they want to hear a concert, you know your brother pastor, he got them every other day. So send them over there. If they need an after pro, you know what I mean? All that stuff, every complaint I come up with, I want to do stuff. I always wanted to be a ministry. I didn't kind of want to be no church because you're so bound in. But a ministry, you can just blow up and do whatever you want to do, like the Urban Alternative or Bondage Breakers. But this is what the Lord wanted, so this is what we're doing. So we'll be celebrating our anniversary this whole month, 19 years. And we were supposed to fail in 1 year, but we made it 19 years. The Lord is good. Because I know, and my wife knows intimately how much we've done, what all that you don't see that this entails. And God has brought us past all of it. So, you know, our faith is through the roof. And so looking forward to that. And then looking forward to Easter. I love Resurrection Sunday. I love Palm Sunday. We just talked about that, the triumphal entry. Behold, your king comes to you humble, riding on a colt. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Kind of made the Pharisees now mad, but they got past it. Okay, so that's all I got. Prayer. Continue prayer for Darius Freeman. God's doing amazing things. Everything worked out just like his mother led the prayer. Okay, and she let me know what she wanted to pray about. And so that's what we prayed about, and that's what God did. Keep Mother Irma Miller in your prayers, okay, and all the mothers on the move, and keep the father of the church, Tyrone Hamilton, being the oldest man in our church, keep him in your prayers as well. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Am I good, baby?
Amen.
Holy Ghost? Am I good, baby Holy Ghost, or do I need another note? I am good, Nicole. It's all on you.
Beautiful.
I'm already
beautiful.
Eight, so
thank
I can act
you.
Great.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining in with me to go over these Psalms this week. And I look forward to meeting you again next week with the Psalm 119. And so let us pray out. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you yet again for another class where we get to read your word and we get to fellowship with each other and ask questions and just spend time with you. And so we thank you for everyone that dialed in today to participate. We thank you that they stopped whatever it is that they were doing and you were a priority. And we just thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
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 Amen. Okay. That's good. Everything's good. Okay, there was something and then there wasn't something. Okay, so there we go. Oh, yeah. Listen to the words of this song and tell me if you can figure out who Tabo is. The name is
who?
Tabo. It's T-A-B-O, Tabo. But tell me if you can figure out who. You can email me or just text the answer to me. Tabo. Who is Tabo? But you're going to have to listen to the words. The awesome music going to trip you out, drag you away. But listen to the words and what they say about Tabo and tell me if you can figure out who it is. God bless you. God keep you. Thank you. Awesome. Deaconess Nicole C. Brooks.